No. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome to this Thursday edition of The Horn. I'm not going to pretend that I'm not a little scatterbrained. It's the first day of March Madness, and yes, I have been watching basketball. Yes, for the sports haters out there, just think of me as shallow. Damn, there's been some good hoops today. There really has been. But that's not what we're here for. This is not a sports program. No, this is not a sports program. This is not a sports program. This is not a sports program very often. And besides, I'm not going to be a real mess until tomorrow when my beloved Mountaineers play. Still, my God. Notre Dame went down. Sorry, Notre Dame fans. Notre Dame went down. Kind of wrecked my bracket, though. That's a nice thing. This is not a sports program. Stop it. Okay. No, we've got serious stuff to do this evening. And sometimes, you know how I am. I like to pick up where I left off. Right? Yeah. And we certainly can do that. You might remember that I closed the program last night by congratulating the leaders of 60 groups of 59,000 nuns, Catholic nuns, Roman Catholic nuns, who actually stood up to the bishops, the American Conference of Catholic Bishops, and called the bishops what they are. Well, short of pederastic, kitty-diddling, boy-banging, criminal, felonious freaks. Apart, they didn't call them that. But they did call them what they overall are in relation to the health care debate. In a word, these through their 60 various groups and the leaders thereof, they called these bishops. What do they call a bishop runs? A bishop prick? Yeah, these bishop pricks. They called them liars because that's what they are. These bishops have been lying through their miserable pederastic teeth, pedophilic teeth. No, pederastic for the most part, I think, unless I've got them backwards. Lying through their teeth about health care reform because these bishops, for some reason or another, have a sick fascination with controlling women's insides. I don't know, maybe too much time with that sick freak St. Paul who spent all that time huffing those tent fumes. And somewhere along the way, I guess he had, if you read the Pauline letters, you can't help but get the idea that there's this little undertone that at one point in time he had a hot thing going on with Priscilla. But it went south somewhere along the way, and the next thing you know, Paul's writing letters telling women to shut the up in church. Right? I mean, it's right, it's there. Or maybe he was all misogynistic and then he met Priscilla and he got better. I'm not sure. But there's a sea change there that's kind of weird. But maybe these bishop pricks have been doing that because, you know, they're just a little too weirded out by all that Pauline garbage. Not Pauline, but Pauline. Yeah, guy named Paul, whose name was really Saul, but he had to change his name because he was on the run. You know, that happens a few times in the Bible, people running around changing their names. Abram goes from Abraham. Oh, God told me to. Jacob becomes Isaac. Or, I mean, Jacob, uh, no. Jacob becomes Israel. That's right. Jacob gets his name changed to Israel. Of course, this is after he led the slaughter of an entire town and might have needed another alias. Jacob? Never heard of him. Three tenths down to the left. That's the last I saw of the guy. My name's Israel. And, of course, in that long tradition, Paul changes his name to Saul. Saul changes his name to Paul when he's on the run. Why am I talking about this? Well, I'm talking about this because the deep-seated misogyny that is the Roman Catholic Church finds its justification inside not the words of Christ Jesus, but inside the words of Paul, who never even met Jesus, who never mentions the virgin birth, who apparently didn't know anything at all about the life of Jesus and just decided to make it up as he went along and had to do it out in the larger Greco-Roman world because the people who had met him and did live where Jesus lived didn't much care for him. He was, in the words of a later musical movement of global importance, a word that the punks used. He was a poser. That's what Paul was. Paul was a poser, and James knew it, and John knew it, and Peter knew it. They all knew it. And so, you know, Saul had to bug out and change his name. But Saul's just full of woman-hating stuff. But so it was that these Roman Catholic nuns called out the bishoprics and said, and despite false claims to the contrary, the Senate bill will not provide taxpayer funding for elective abortions. It will uphold longstanding conscience protections, and it will make historic new investments, $250 million, in support of pregnant women. This is the real pro-life stance, and we as Catholics are all for it. And you know what? While I may not buy into the whole bells, lights, whistles, incense, you know, lace dresses, all of that stuff, you ever notice it's not that the nuns don't get the lace dresses, it's the guys? But anyway, while I may not buy into all of that, they are absolutely correct on all, they are four square gospel correct in their assessment of the health care bill vis-a-vis abortion. Personally, if it was up to me, I believe in federal funding of abortion. I'm absolutely behind it. But, you know, that's because I'm liberal and I don't appreciate life. I'm just Bob. But anyway, picking up where we left off last night, we have a response from Bart Stupak, who was also sort of a target of the 59,000 nuns' letters. Because Bart Stupak is a wholly owned C Street creature of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. This is this is just precious. According to Fox News, I understand. I know. Congressman Bart Stupak, D. Michigan, responded sharply to White House officials touting a letter representing 59,000 nuns that was sent to lawmakers urging them to pass the health care bill. The conservative Democrat, my old Aunt Matilda's left hind foot. The conservative Democrat dismissed the action by the White House, saying, "When I'm drafting right-to-life language, I don't call up the nuns." Yeah, why? Why talk to a woman about birth issues? Really? He says instead he confers with other groups, including leading bishops, Focus on the Family, and the National Rifle Association. No, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. The National Right to Life Committee. Hell, why not consult with the National Rifle Association? It's just another big group of pasty-faced, doughy white guys who believe in restricting every right on earth with the single exception of the right to blow things away with firearms. It's all the same. That's in large part why the Republicans are so far out in front of us on messaging and understanding issues. The National Rifle Association will gladly go hand in hand with the National Right to Life Committee, who would gladly go hand in hand with the National Coal Ash Manufacturers Association, because they recognize that they are all in the same daggum boat. And it is to their mutual benefit to all be rowing in the same direction. On the other hand, as a Democrat, we sit in the boat bobbing about on the tide. And instead of all rowing in the same direction, we're all holding the oars going, rowing? What is this rowing I keep hearing about? Yeah, Bart Stupak. Jesus. Bart Stupak don't want to listen to no damn nuns about no birth issues. After all, they're all virgin brides of Christ, right? I don't want to talk to no woman that ain't never had no baby about no birthing issues. Let me go talk to a guy whose head is up somebody's instead. Does that make you a little crazy? It makes me big crazy. Yeah, he listens to Focus on the Family. You know, the crowd that advocates beating children until they cry real tears. Oh! That's what we want. We want to force them to get born so we can then not spare the rod on them so we don't spoil a child. I realize this has elements of a bit of a carryover from prayer meeting Wednesday, but how do you not? And it's not just this. I mean, stupid. Is anybody under the impression that Bart Stupak really is a Democrat? Wouldn't it be just as simple? Remember this: the original legislation that he drafted, Pitt, Stupak, Stupak, Pitt, Spit, Stack, what? That was drafted, but the heavy lifting on that drafting was done by the Pitt side, and the Pitt side is a right-wing repiglickin', who then went on, even though the language was included, and didn't vote for the bill. Remember? Yeah. Clue. Ooh. I just found a candlestick in the conservatory. Colonel Mustard, what are you doing here? Bart Stupak's not a Democrat. And apparently the House leadership has finally come to realize that there's some truth in that. Why didn't he just change? Why didn't he just go over to the dark side and have done with it? Teach me, Sith Lord, Boner. Why not? Well, maybe. Maybe he stays in the Democratic Party because that's how he can get elected. But he has a primary challenger, and you know, I hope the woman is able to get tons and tons of money, because that's how elections work anymore. And have forever, for the most part, in the United States. Hope she can get tons and tons of money. And I hope she goes door to door. Are you the lady of the house? Yes, good. Did you know that creep that we've been sending to Washington wants to control your hoo-hoo? Really? Yes. I've got one, and I don't want him to control mine. Do you want him to control you? No. Well, let's just go vote again him. But again, that's not the only little sort of carryover from prayer meeting Wednesday, although this other one did happen today. Absolute lunacy. Surprise. Absolute lunacy on the right wing as Representative Steve, why won't those Homer sectionals just not tell anybody they're Homer sectionals and we'll all be happier that way, King from Iowa, and Glenn Beck got on the phone together. I know, you're sick of hearing about Glenn Beck. I'm sick of talking about Glenn Beck. But you know what? This is how the debate is being shaped. You know, I wish that the Horn family was bigger, and we try to grow it all the time, and I wish the megaphone was a little bit louder and a little bit larger, and I wish the same for the listenership of every single liberal radio person out there. But the reality is that the right wing is leading the dialogue. And so it was that Representative Steve Gag the Gays King got on the radio box with his pal, Glenn Beck, to, well, open up the offensive on the latest trench into which they have withdrawn. As I explained the other night, the Republicans, when they go into battle, they have 9 dozen trenches dug behind them, and they will fall back and make us fight in every trench, every step of the way. And now they're in the trench labeled, complain about the timing of the vote. You really kind of have to hear this to really get the full import of it.
Here's the call. Drop your plows and your hammers and get on a plane or a bus or drive your pickup truck. Come into Washington, D.C., fill this city up. They intend to vote on the Sabbath during Lent to take away the liberty that we have from God.
Steve, you're a religious man?
Yes.
Thank you for pointing this out. I thought of this the other day because I've been saying faith, hope, and charity. Faith has been perverted, and our hope, they're trying to sell this hope that we'll have faith in the government, that they'll be charitable. And I thought, they are going to vote for this damn thing on a Sunday, which is the Sabbath, during Lent. You couldn't have said it better. Here is a group of people that have so perverted our faith and our hope and our charity that this is an affront to God. And I honestly don't think that anybody's like, yes, and now what we'll do is we'll vote on the Sabbath. But I think that it is absolutely appropriate that these people are trying to put the nail in the coffin on our country on a Sunday, something our founders would have never, ever, ever done.
Crazy. How can I say that? Well, because, first of all, if you're going to talk about Holy Scripture, you might, and you really profess to take it seriously, you might not want to be swearing in the middle of talking about what Holy Scripture means to you. This damn thing and God's love. Did you hear that? Sure you did. They intend to vote on the Sabbath during Lent to take away the liberty that we have right from God. Now, are you a religious man, Steve? Yes, I am. Well, hot damn! Are you a religious man, Steve? Yes, I am. What kind of religion? Well, I'm a fundamentalist. Because he is one. You know, he's probably a C-streeter for all we know. Here's a group of people that have so perverted our faith and our hope and our charity. This is an affront to God. You know, we had that transcript of Beck the other night responding to the Reverend Jim Wallace saying, God's time and my time, they're kind of the same. I think Mr. Beck is getting perilously close to another breakdown. It won't be his first. I think he is getting the God complex. Oh, the God complex is strong with this one. And just so we can get context. And lo and behold, there I go, starting off the program, talking about St. Paul, and what does he do? Well, you know, are you a religious man? Yes, didn't say what religion. But Sunday is, did I miss something? I apparently did. Sunday has become the universal Sabbath of the United States. Pesky old First Amendment. Government shall establish no religion nor hinder the free exercise thereof. Yeah, that's right. The Sabbath is on Sunday for everybody. Jewish folks, you got that? No more of this sundown Friday business. Ha-ha! Glenn Beck says it's Sunday. Seventh-day adventurers, you're out too. The Sabbath is Sunday. Muslims? Oh, don't even talk about the Muslims. They don't count in the first place. Because you do remember that Glenn Beck confronted Representative Keith Ellison of Minnesota, and because he's a Muslim, and said, "How can I know that you're not my enemy?" Well, Glenn, because I haven't pulled out a firearm and put a bullet between your eyes like any sane and decent human being would have done 5 minutes ago. Yep, Glenn Beck, God spokesperson. And just so we can get our head around it, it may be familiar to many of you. To many, it may not be. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is held out as being one of the loveliest pieces of New Testament poetry that there is. And it is Pauline. And it's beautiful in its way. Now, what did Beck say? Yeah. They have so perverted our faith and our hope and our charity. Is he admitting that his faith is perverted? That this is an affront to God. What he's referring to is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." There are many who redefine the word charity in the King James Version simply as the word love. And that, you know, that really is, those are true, those are faithful truisms that are applicable under any religious rubric. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." You ever heard sounding brass? Clank! Tongues of men and angels. No matter how perfectly you speak, no matter how beautifully, how eloquently, how perfectly, if the words are not carried on wings of love, clank! And then I guess the Pope's brother comes up and slaps you around a little bit for flatting on the charity. Sorry. And, you know, verse 2, with the business about prophecies and mysteries and knowledge and faith, those are the things, those are incredible powers if you believe in magic. But if I've got all that and I have no love, I'm nothing. And you do all the good works, but you don't have love, it does you no good. You know, that kind of reminds me of corporate giving. I don't know if you ran across this. But our pals at WellPoint, a couple of years back, they made this pledge. They pledged 3 years ago to use its charitable foundation, WellPoint's charitable foundation, to spend $30 million to assist in care for the uninsured. The LA Times did an investigative report and discovered that while they pledged to spend $30 million, they actually spent 6.2. 11% of what they promised. The LA Times story reporting, quote, WellPoint's public records indicate that from 2007 to 2009, the foundation gave less than $6.2 million in grants targeted specifically at helping uninsured Americans get access to coverage and care, barely one-fifth of what was promised and just 11% of the charity's total giving over the last 3 years. Quote, it was just not something that the company really wanted to do, said one former executive, who, like others interviewed for this story, asked not to be identified out of concern that discussing WellPoint could have adverse career consequences. Quote, so it went by the wayside. Now, why did WellPoint do that? I mean, now, I didn't start this. This is not one of those where, oh, look, Bob's doing the Bible again. Glenn Beck and Steve King started this. Now, if you're a right-wing, godless, soulless, motherless, heartless, miserable, festering pustule of a right-winger, and you want to go out and you want to trot out 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I am the boy to work with. Because I got 1 Corinthians chapter 13 till I was purple in the face by the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Baptist church before they sent us upstairs to find out what a tawdry, filthy mess it really was. So you start out with a pledge of $30 million, and it winds up being $6.2 million. And we find ourselves back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Well, that ain't exactly true where WellPoint's concerned, because of the $6.2 million that they did put out there into their foundation, guess what? They got a tax break! And I'm sure there was a press release for every blessed penny that went out. WellPoint imitates Jesus. WellPoint gives away health care to the poor. But for all his loony misogyny and all his other craziness, I guess this was a good day when Paul was writing 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because he nailed it. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. It don't do you any good. And there's a kind of a duality at work there, because, you know, you go on later and you read the book of James, and it says faith without works is dead. In other words, you can talk about how magnificent your faith is, but by God, if you're not backing it up with doing something, it's worthless. It is, in the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, nothing. But conversely, if you're doing all those good works and you don't, and you're not doing it with love in your heart, That's nothing, too. And, you know, in a way, I guess this is an early manifestation of the idea that motive matters. And that it's okay to inquire as to motive. And so it is that with WellPoint giving away $6.2 million out of the $30 million they promised, and still crowing and ballyhooing about every last red cent of it, what's that? I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, clank. Love suffereth long and is kind. Charity, love, envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. See here, look here, we gave $6.2 million for charitable care for those miserable people who don't have any insurance coverage. Aren't we good? Is not puffed up, vaunteth not itself. You know, I really, really despise it when I catch a right-winger out there trotting out the better, more beautiful parts of the Bible, you know, the ones where nobody's getting smoted or nothing, or raped, or stoned, or whomped with sticks, or having frogs and blood and locusts and so forth dropped on them, or walls crumbling on top of babies' heads like in Jericho. When you run across one of those beautiful parts in the Bible, you tend to hang on to it for dear life, for you know not when you'll find another one. And that's one of them. And for Glenn Beck and Steve King to blither and blather on about how, oh, we're spoiling the Sabbath. Well, hey, Glenn! Your buddy Joe Lieberman can come in on Sunday and vote against the bill just fine. It ain't his Sabbath. And he's real devout and pious about what the Sabbath is. By God, he won't trim his toenails after sundown on Friday. He can do it. Yeah, the Sunday vote's an affront to God. And our founders would never have done it. Shh, don't tell Glenn Beck. But most of the founders didn't give a rat's rear end about Sundays because they were deists or Unitarians or, in the case of Thomas Paine, outright atheists. Now, if you want to talk about somebody not wanting to work on the Sabbath, you want to come up about 80, 90 years and talk about a guy by the name of Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson. Or, as his men like to refer to him, Old Blue Light. Because when he got going real good, and the two places where he got going real good was slaughtering people wearing blue things and talking about the Bible, in either of those instances, he got kind of bug-eyed and weird and crazy, and this wild-ass blue light happened in his eyes, and they called him Old Blue Light. Now, Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson loved Jesus so much that he wouldn't slaughter any of Jesus' followers wearing blue clothing on Sunday. Now, there's a man who has respect for God and the Sabbath. You know, as he lay dying, having had one of his arms lopped off after being shot by some Tar Heel, Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson, in his delirium, looked up and said, "Let us cross over the river and rest beneath the shade of the trees." And having said that, said no more. Just a bit of trivia. On the other hand, Steve King's all worried about the Sabbath. Glenn Beck's all worried about the Sabbath. Don't want to do nothing on the Sabbath because that would be an affront. Remember, it's an affront to God. You'll see the big board. It's an affront to God. Unless a Republican is doing it. Because I'm sure you all remember back in, 2005, long about this time of the year, the Senate of the United States was in the evil clutches of the Republican Party. Dim leader was still in the White House. And yes, the Senate leadership passed a bill that would allow the federal court to intervene in the case of poor, brain-dead Terri Schiavo. They were specially convened, the Senate and the House were, both controlled by those good, God-fearing, Sabbath-respecting Republicans, on Palm Sunday. Not just any Sabbath. I mean, you know, they trotted out Lent here. My God, it's a Sabbath and it's during Lent! This was Palm Sunday. When they were convened to interfere in the private life of one American family. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican. And it reminds me of something that my head writer, David in Tennessee, mentioned to me earlier today. And it sort of fits right in and really does bear mentioning. And David dropped me a note about these people that believe folks like Beck and Steve King. And he said, you know, it's that 1 in 100 drawn from that pool that is 1 in 5 that scares me to effing death. 1 in 5 Americans, and remember, our good friend David in Tennessee is routinely pulling Klan recruiting business cards off his postal center bulletin board. It's that 1 in 100 drawn from that pool that is 1 in 5 that scares me to effing death. 1 in 5 Americans are down with, solidly in the camp of, and unshakably responsive to the hard right political leaders. Fine. Vote that way, dumb shit. Of that pool, there's that 1 in 100 that sees John Birch type politics as a step in the right direction. It's violent action that appeals to that one. That's the person that scares me. He continues, I know that person. I knew one up close and personal. The words, the racism, the weaponry, and yes, the latent desire to put it all into action. He had it all. In his time, he had to write off for mimeographed material to further his twisted thoughts. He had to find Klansmen that would talk to him as a recruit, even though he wouldn't join. Klan's full of FBI. To do what I need to do, I can't get caught by joining the Klan. He used to say. He had to be introduced to leaders by a third party that knew him to be trustworthy. He had to work at getting his hands on protocols of the Elders of Zion type stuff. If Edward Phillips Wilson were alive today, he'd need only to follow Glenn Beck to have more than enough to keep his crazy, well-fed with fresh insanity. If in 1916, a time Beck wants us back to, if in 1916 Beck had said what he said on the radio yesterday, President Wilson would have jailed him for sedition. That is a process not to be favored, but I say it to illustrate Beck's inflammatory rhetoric properly. What a nut job had to work hard to find in 1965. He can find 8 to 10 hours a day, if not more, on radio and television. I want to go back and hit that one again. Let that one sink in real good. What a nut job had to work hard to find in 1965. He can find 8 to 10 hours a day of on radio and television now. The constant prodding of the lunatic fringe by Beck et al. Frightens me. It frightens me because I know it works, albeit in small measure to its worst effect. But a very small percentage can make a very big noise. As Beck continues to scream that it's the left that prefers violence, some budding Timothy McVeigh will find a kindred spirit, and the two will set off to bring down communism in America. Beck virtually begged for armed insurrection yesterday, and we liberals have tiny little platforms from which to call out, fraud, liar, provocateur! We're too busy trying to save some of those 45,000 from dying every year from lack of health care. But Beck, well, Mr. Beck spends 20-plus hours a week screaming into a very large megaphone, those peoples are taking your country away from you! God us help us all, says David. So true. So true. And that's, you know, that's why I spend so much time talking about this stuff. And to some of your chagrin, find something else to talk about, Bob. What? My purpose is not to give that creep free publicity. My purpose is to make sure that we understand all the way down to our toenails what these people are about. And to drive home the fact of what they're about. This isn't shtick. This is not just a job. Every time they get caught, and for every time that Glenn Beck has ever said, I'm just a rodeo clown, and for every time that Flush Flimball has been caught and said, my friends, I'm just an entertainer. You know, every time he says, I'm just an entertainer, you can ask yourself, would I plop down $10 at a comedy club to go in and see this? And the obvious answer is no. I wouldn't go across the street for free to see this or hear this. Then that puts the lie to I'm just a rodeo clown, I'm just an entertainer. I hope there's some reason behind this that makes sense. I'm just hearing from Jude up in Seattle. The words faith, hope, and charity were displayed by Beck on his television program last week on a new painting he said he'd created. He also retired the huge We the People poster that was hung behind him on the set while spewing out his vile propaganda. By the way, it looked like he autographed the We the People poster for some future auction. The continued distortions of all that is good are rapidly being stepped up. There is no shame, no integrity, no humility. There is nothing except destruction, and they have girded their loins for battle. They are on the march in unison step. Yet as a reminder, Bob, when one is considered to be a threat for any reason, the attacks are always increased, as the attacker cannot stand for 1 second anything that displays the light of their inner darkness and self-poisoning. It is also written, you shall know them by their fruits. Peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, and more. Do you see manifested any of these so far in the neocon Christian cultists? No! Oh, no. And that's the point. The idea of Glenn Beck quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 13 was darn nigh enough to bring up Din Din. I got to be careful or I'm going to go off into a full-on sermon. Because one of the things that always intrigued me out of the book of Matthew is that part where the rich young man comes and says, Master, Rabbi, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus looks at him and says, sell everything you've got and come follow me. Sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the Bible said, and the young man went away, and he was very sad. Well, I pose to you a question. If some form of Messiah, some sort of eternal Savior, was standing before Rush Limbaugh and said, here's how it goes, Rush. Every penny, every dime, every penny, you give it away. You pauperize yourself, Rush, and come follow me. And I have a verifiable afterlife that will be absolutely Skittles and beer for all eternity for you, Rush. You'll be up to your eyebrows in OxyContin, and you can just chew your way through it and get the refreshing burst of flavor, Rush. Let's do it. You want to do it? All eternity versus the 40 million you've got here now. Now, what do you think Rush would choose? Come on. Honest. Never bet on the come. Bet the pat hand. And $40 million a year is a pretty pat hand. Our buddy Michael, otherwise known as Kid A in the chat room, caught me in one again. He's become rather adept at this. Darth Boner. You didn't say it, but you implied it, and I LOL'd. It's got a real ring to it, Darth Boner. Think of all the double entendres one could have with the lightsaber. Spaceballs 2, anyone? Yeah, I did reference the Sith Lord, and then I did reference Boner. Darth Boner. I think we have a... Yeah, exactly. Cindy in the Great Northwest noting why Stupak stays on our side. Why don't people like Stupak go over to the dark side where they belong? They have a job to do on our side, spying for the dark side. Obvious case in point, Lieberman. Valid, valid, valid. So that's where we find ourselves at 14 minutes, 13 minutes before the hour. Phone lines are open, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333.
Hi there.
Hey, Susan.
I got three questions for you.
Okay, maybe I got one or two answers.
Okay, actually, therefore, two of them are for Bart Stupak. First one is, has dear old Bart ever seen the results of a botched abortion?
Oh, I'm sure he's seen abortions in jars.
No, those are clinical. I mean the botched kind, the back alley kind that used to be rather common in the early 60s. I've seen them. They're not pretty. Their results are not pretty. The graveyards aren't pretty either that they end up in. Of course, I doubt if he really gives a rap.
No, that's the whole point. He doesn't.
Here's another question for dear old Bart. Has he declared his subsidized rent to the IRS yet?
Oh, no. No, no. Not to the best of any journalist's knowledge, that's for certain.
And I have one comment regarding dear old Mr. Beck.
Yes.
And his mini rant about... it's an affront to God signing this bill during Lent and all this jazz. Beck is a Mormon.
He is at that. Or, well,
now, last time I looked, and Granddad was a Mormon elder, so, you know. Last time I looked, Mormons celebrate Easter. They do not celebrate Lent per se.
But isn't he a convert? Maybe he's got some lint left over, you know, kind of like the lint trap in the dryer. Oh, that's lint. Never mind. Sorry.
Oh, and I have an answer for your question, your hypothetical to Rush, about the Messiah. Stranger in strange land, consider what happened to Valentine Michael Smith.
Yeah. Robert A. Heinlein's classic. Yeah, Dunn got killed. Consider what happened to Gandhi. Consider what happened to Dr. King. Consider what happened to Jesus. Socrates.
Every time a potential savior shows up, the human race, in its perversity, proceeds to kill him. Depending on how barbaric they're feeling, that determines how barbaric is the form of death.
That's pretty cool. I mean, that's valid.
And the human race will not be considered to have evolved as such until such time as we stop killing our prophets.
And we've shown no sign of let up in that, have we?
No. The only people that we keep around are the demagogues. Those we keep handy. Which says something right there for us. I have one message for, I have been cruising the internet, reading all of the comments from the right wingers, and their teeny wee little heads are popping, like the plastic bubbles in bubble wrap, it's going pop, pop, pop.
No, I was thinking more of the Martians in Mars Attacks and Slim Whitman yodeling, but yeah, I get the message.
Yeah, they're just going berserk because the countdown started. This sucker's going to pass, and there's not anything they can do to stop it. And they're going bonkers. They are just going completely wild.
But see, I'm paranoid enough, Susan, that I wonder if some of this isn't, please don't throw me in the briar patch.
Well,
because I do acknowledge there's a whole boatload of insurance giveaway money in this bill. I acknowledge that. I think for the sake of 45,000 Americans, we've got to do it.
Yeah.
And it looks like this is the ransom that we pay. But 45,000 Americans are important enough to me that I say the ransom's worth paying.
Speaking of ransoms, Dennis Kucinich, when he originally came out and said he was not going to vote for this bill, he said, according to his people, they said that they got a huge influx of cash, campaign donations. He's now said, because of that, and because he's changed his vote, he's returning that money. And you want to talk about an honorable man?
Well, that's very interesting you would mention that, because lo and behold, there's a post up. And I don't know what's wrong with Jane Hampshire over at Fire Dog Lake. If I recall correctly, the woman's a breast cancer survivor, isn't she? Or maybe it was somebody else at Fire Dog Lake. But she said, she wrote at Fire Dog Lake, 1,000 people have donated over $16,000 to Dennis Kucinich since yesterday to thank him for standing up for what he believes in. We'll be asking him to return it. Who said he's not still standing up for what he believes in?
Yeah.
This is another one of those, I'm not a Democrat. Or I'm not a member of an organized political party, I'm a Democrat moments. Yeah, Texas Betsy's telling me she's a breast cancer survivor three times.
Yeah, well, maybe the chemo's getting to her. I don't know. I do know that if he's willing to send that money back, I'm going to send him some money because, first of all, he doesn't have to. And secondly, he's honorable enough to do it.
And frankly, I think when word gets around that that's what he's done, he'll get, I guess we're going to wind up more biblical on this Thursday than we were yesterday on Wednesday. You know, there's that other verse that says, cast your bread upon the water and it will be returned to you, pressed down and shaken together.
Yeah. And I just, I saw that statement he made. He didn't, it cost him a lot to change that vote.
Oh, and by the way, you might find this interesting. I first learned of this story, of course, because I can't go a day without going to BartCop.com.
Right.
And Bart writes, wait, why is Fire Dog Lake against health care reform? Michael Moore hates this bill, but he says that we still pass it. I don't have time for a war with Fire Dog Lake, but if Obama can't deliver on watered-down health care, that'll make him the lamest duck I've seen in the 30 years I've been paying attention to politics. The GOP will eat him up and spit him out and probably impeach him. Do we want to go through that again, or would we rather back our president? And then, in brackets, Bart does a shot. Damn, I see Fire Dog Lake has raised $21,341 in their current fundraiser. Is there good money in killing health care?
Probably.
I got to tell you, Susan, with that kind of behavior on the part of Fire Dog Lake, not that we matter to them, but please, ain't got time for it. Let me do something I seldom do, Susan. Let me speak for 45,000 Americans who will be dead a year from today. They don't have time for Fire Dog Lake's bullshit.
Exactly. And so, to me, and this is what I keep saying to my representative, pass the bill. We can fix it later. Pass the bill.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of which, Alan Grayson is out there right now. I don't know if you saw this, but
pass the bill.
He's going to support the bill, and he's already introduced new legislation.
Yeah.
He has 50 co-sponsors already for Medicare you can buy into.
My representative is one of them, so is Dennis.
Yeah. You know, pass it and start working on it.
Yeah, and get on the phones and start asking your representative to co-sponsor.
Exactly. So, you know, there's nothing that says we can't. There's nothing that says we can't keep working on it.
Yep.
But I am absolutely convinced. And look, you know, we're poor as a church mouse here, so it's not like anybody's paying us to say this.
Yeah.
But you know what? My kids are covered right now. But they're not going to be covered forever. And the fact of the matter is, I would like coverage to be there for them when they become adults. And if this doesn't pass, they won't.
And I would like coverage for you guys, for you and Agnes.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, I have to concern myself outside myself.
Yes, I know, because you're a dad. But other people don't. But I'm in the same boat because I'm on Medicare.
Ron,
they're expanding the Medicaid eligibility.
Right. I hope that, because you know that's important. The Medicaid eligibility and the end of asset testing and all of that stuff is incredibly important because that almost creates a public option in its own right, doesn't it? Shh, don't tell the right wingers. Yeah, and Ron in Raleigh is confirming what you said on Democracy Now! Today. Congressman Kucinich promised to return money to all who want it. And Ron echoes what you said. He is an honorable man.
Yeah, and so because of that, I'm going to be sending you what I can. It won't be much, but I'm going to send it. And I'm going to say, this is because you were honorable enough to send back money to people who asked for it. Because you have the courage of your convictions. And I honor that.
And I have to say, Susan, without sounding overly bitter, I hope, that this posturing and this posing on the part of Jane Hampshire at Fire Dog Lake makes me sick.
to put it mildly. Taking exception with his stance, disagreeing with his stance, is legitimate. Some of the things she said, and I've seen them, that's tacky. Tacky. Obama has canceled his trip to Indonesia so he can stay in town.
Well, not, you know what? Good. Because that takes one little piece of foolishness out of the right wing, out of the right wing arsenal. I don't know if you heard this or not, but Rick Santorum said he was really worried that Obama was going to go over there and bow to some more Muslims.
Rick Santorum can go. Well, hey Rick, sit on it.
Yeah, well, Santorum, we all remember the definition of the word.
Yeah.
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 So.
Anyway, I'll let you go. Give my love to Agnes and to everybody there.
All right, will do. Susan, you take care and have a good evening.
Okay, you too.
Bye now. Bye. News Ninja Susan calling from Columbia City, Oregon. I hope I'm not going to get a bunch of cranky mail over what I just said about Fire Dog Lake, but because I respect everyone's right to their opinion, I sincerely do. But my God, when you've known the hell three times of breast cancer, and you know that that's the sort of thing that's killing Americans, and if one person in that 45,000 will die on account of your own advocacy? I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I couldn't live with me. Just couldn't. Just couldn't. Oh, what was that? What was that earlier on? Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth away. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three things. But the greatest of these is love. How much love do you have in you? If you would, for the sake of political point scoring and posturing, condemn one of your fellow Americans to a grim and dusky death. How much indeed? Me, I don't see much love there. And God, if this is not the great calling of our time to manifest a common and universal form of love, when is? Because are any of us under the impression that Dr. King wouldn't be on the side of getting health care to people who do not have it? I can't imagine Dr. King doing anything but advocating for passing the bill. Maybe I'm just crazy. I don't know. But we've come to the end of the first hour of the program. Coming up, we have the Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Excellent, as always. Your phone calls, of course, are welcome, 304-658-3333 on your own nickel, or 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, toll free. Email rolls into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. Your thoughts on this or any other topic are more than welcome, because what we do here, we think, is quite special. This is Conversation Radio. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
Socks and a shirt. Me and Crazy Jenny was making love in the dirt, singing our birthday song. Jenny said it was time to go, so we closed our eyes and said goodbye to Gypsy Angel Row. Felt so right. Together we
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Thursday, March 18, 2010.
Fellow citizens, at this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger.
A not happy anniversary, oil drilling scandal in L.A., plus hard times for sea lions.
All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I'm sorry, I'm getting too emotional about this issue. I just want to live. And you know...
Oh, Bill Maher, you're such a baby. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, well, I hope you're over your hangover from St. Paddy's Day and your organic beer binge. So what do you have for us today?
Well, this Saturday, March 20th, marks 7 years since the U.S. invasion of Iraq and also marks an emerging environmental health problem for veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan. The U.S. military disposes of nearly all of its waste on bases in Iraq and Afghanistan by burning it in huge open pits, some of them over 20 acres in size. Everything gets burned, even tires, medical waste, and hazardous chemicals. Returning troops and civilian personnel say they have developed respiratory problems, neurological disorders, and cancer, which they allege was caused by the uncontrolled, billowing, toxic smoke from the burn pits. Here's Master Sergeant John Hilliard of the Air National Guard in an interview with the Military Times.
I couldn't breathe. I couldn't feel like I could breathe. I couldn't feel like I could take a deep breath. Felt like there was a steel band around my chest.
According to the Army Times, the Department of Defense acknowledges the toxicity of the burn pits, but says there should be no long-term health problems. But the Veterans Administration is pushing the Department of Defense to gather more data. The VA is also pushing Congress to open up health care benefits for affected veterans. Several lawsuits have already been filed by some veterans against military contractor KBR. For more information, go to burnpits.org.
You know, on Tuesday, we reported on the 9/11 first responders who finally settled with the New York City and with the federal government because they were told there was no environmental hazards there. Folks knew at the time there were. And it took 10 years to get any kind of settlement. This sounds a hell of a lot like what happened there.
Yes, and the VA is really trying to get out in front of this in order to avoid a repeat of the nation's experience with things like Agent Orange and Gulf War Syndrome.
Well, get out in front of it, but 7 years later, 7 years after they've been doing this year after year, I would hardly call that getting out in front of it.
It's a particularly bad year for sea lions on California's coast. Animal rescue groups are reporting finding hundreds of sick and hungry sea lion pups washing up on shore over the last few months due to lack of food. Researchers say the toll is similar to 1998, the last time we had a big El Nino event affecting the nation's weather. This year's unusually strong El Nino warms the Pacific Ocean, which reduces the number of the fish and squid that are the sea lion's main source of food.
California is a place you ought to be, so they loaded up the truck and moved to Beverly Hills, that is.
A little known fact, the city of Los Angeles sits atop one of the richest oil fields in the country. Hundreds of oil wells are concealed throughout the city, but one field in particular is the subject of a new lawsuit from residents who live nearby.
It's not concealed at all, is it? We drive past this all the time. Oil field right out in the middle of Los Angeles. It's rather startling when you first see it for the first time because all these homes are nearby.
Yes, these residents are charging that a lack of oversight has led to environmental and health damages. And indeed, a new state audit reveals that an engineer employed by the state to regulate the Inglewood oil field was actually secretly helping the oil company who leased the field. The engineer, state regulator Floyd Leeson, not only owned stock in the oil company, he allegedly solicited donations from the oil companies he regulated for his wife's nonprofit organization, and he personally approved dozens of new permits in the hours before a moratorium on new permits could take effect. Leeson has since resigned, but emails acquired by the Associated Press reveal that Leeson considered himself something of a cheerleader for the company. He said in one email, quote, "You just keep up the good work, and I'll try to keep my boss from hitting you guys with any more retarded fines. Remember, I'm on your side." He even went so far in one email as to call himself, quote, "a good shill" for the company known as Plains Exploration and Production of Houston. Residents had no idea that more wells were being drilled in their area until some were evacuated from their homes in 2006 due to fumes. They charge lack of oversight and environmental regulation has led to increased air and noise pollution, and the drilling has cracked the foundations of their homes.
Yeah, this is an incredible story. This guy, Leeson, when he was being investigated, told the investigators that he expedited the permit request because this company, quote, "provides jobs and capital investment to an economically depressed location," according to the report. Now, that may be true, but that's politics. That's not the job of regulators to decide, you know, what provides jobs and capital investment. It seems in this country we've lost all track of what regulators mean. We've gotten rid of most of the regulators, and the ones that are there seem to be working for the industries they're supposed to be regulating. It's extraordinary. For more on that and the other stories we did not get to today, please stop by our website, greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
And I will be there, yeah, yes, I'll be there. You've got a friend.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
This is how it's going to be, huh? I open the phones, and, well, you're going to wait until 15 minutes before 9, and then you'll light all six lines up. and make me feel bad when I don't get to all of them. I know how you are. I know how this works. I didn't fall off the turnip truck yesterday. I fell off day before yesterday, dadgummit. And by the way, something else along the lines of the same topic. You know, last night I ran that highly disingenuous, filthy ad from Americans for Prosperity that was being run in a district of a congresswoman who had just in the last 30 days put both of her parents under the sod, having died from cancer, both of them. And it got the blood up, as we like to say here. It got Scott and Sweden's blood up. You see, Scott lives in Sweden, and he has pretty darn good health care. No, he's got about as good a health care as a human being can have on the face of planet Earth there in Sweden. And he knows it. But as an expatriate American, he grieves for what we're going through here. So he dropped me a note this morning, because, you know, Scott listens on a different schedule, being as how he's several hours ahead of us. I mean, I guess right now it's jeepers, 1:20 in the morning or something for Scott, maybe? Maybe 2:20? I don't know. But Scott said, I did a little research on that cancer care ad. Remember, the ad said that the European cancer survival rate was somehow, you know, what, 10 or 11 points lower than the American survival rate? Yeah. Scott said, I did a little research on that cancer care ad after hearing Europe get slammed, and the best I can come up with is a study that averaged 47 European countries with the U.S. 47 European countries has to include all the dregs of the old Soviet Empire in their average. The only way to compare the U.S. with 47 European countries would be to add in all of the Western Hemisphere with the U.S. and then average that. Scott notes the richer EU countries, except the Netherlands, does better than the U.S. And I thanked him, and I said, you know, if Europe really knew the slanders and libels being published about successful, meaningful, non-toxic healthcare solutions practiced in their countries, there'd be protests in front of every U.S. embassy in every European country. And lo and behold, this was back when Scott was awake. He said a lot of people here do know that the U.S. is a mean old bitch these days and just feel it's sad, like a Botoxed, petrified 1950s movie queen. We know that our healthcare system is far more fair than what the U.S.'s is, and almost everyone here can imagine what would happen to them medically, personally, if only they lived in the U.S., and it makes them shudder. Everyone here has heard enough stories of friends or acquaintances who knew someone who got sick in the U.S. and had horror story bills. Being savvy travelers, few travel to the U.S. without buying trip-specific insurance and have thus been saved financially. These stories are well known here and feared. If Americans only knew how many Europeans have stopped visiting the U.S. or just shake their heads sadly at its name. Fun place to visit for excitement and action like China or India is, but move there for good? Netak. No thanks in Swedish. You know, give Scott in Sweden and our friends in Norway much more. They'll have me lilting along like my Scandinavian forebears sooner or later. But I really appreciate Scott's input on that, because the whole world knows, what a mockery the insurance corporations are making of the American people. The whole world. They laugh, well, no, they don't laugh at us, most of the world. They grieve for us in the UK and France and Germany, in Denmark and Sweden and Norway, in Italy, in Australia, in Japan, in Cuba. They grieve for us, for what
corporations in their incessant search for holy profit are willing to do to other human beings, or other corporations aren't human beings, but what corporations are willing to do to human beings to leech a little more holy profit out of our hides. They grieve. They grieve. Marty asked earlier, didn't Limbag promise to leave the country if health care reform passes? And I said, yeah, Costa Rica, where they have single payer. Marty responded, great. Let's pass the bill and go help him pack. Indeed. Indeed. And our good friend Cindy up in the Great Northwest responded with regard to Jane Hampshire and my comments, which I stand by. She said, I think as a three-time survivor, Jane's money is depleted pretty badly. She's nearly unemployable, and she's an assigned risk. She's in the pool that desperately needs Medicare. I'm pretty sure she's holding out for that, and when I think of the toll this kind of fight can wage on a person, I can't get upset with her for being angry with Kucinich. I continue to support, respect, and love Dennis Kucinich. I've never been upset with him at all. I trust his decisions. I love Jane, too, and I understand her reasons because I've been disabled with a very expensive disease, too, for 22 years, and it's depleted me financially, not to mention wreaked havoc on my health and my life by extension. I'm lucky, though. I have Medicare. And I suppose that's the question, isn't it? Why should access to health care be a matter of luck? Cassinda, you're not lucky. Medicare is there. You don't have to roll the dice to get it. It should be extended and available to everyone in this country who wants and or needs it, regardless of health status. It's not luck. It shouldn't be something where one crosses one's fingers and hopes that you keep getting the right diagnosis until such time as you're eligible. Because, among other things, as we continue to poison this corner of our planet, the more ticking time bombs are going to be going inside each and every one of us. Right before airtime, I got something that was a little bit upsetting to me. I got notice that there's a coal mine going in out our little country road here. We don't have much in the way of particulars yet, but they're saying that a deep mine is going in out our roads. We have nowhere to go. We have nowhere to go. If this is indeed the case, we will be refugees in our own homes, out this little road, and life will be much less near fit for living, even if it is just a deep mine. Because coal trucks will run our roads, destroy them, fill our air with dust and filth, poison our children and our grandchildren. What do I say to my daughter and her husband and their little grandchildren that are with us? Get the hell out because this place is going to be poisoned. How do I do that? But that'll set more little bombs ticking inside all of us in this area because coal is poison. Make no mistake about it. That's why dedicated activists on the lawn of the EPA in Washington, D.C. today set up two Purple Mountains Majesties on the lawn. You can see photographs over at Huffington Post. Jeff Biggers has the post up. Just look up Jeff Biggers under the Environment tab. It was posted this afternoon at 5:17 p.m. Eastern Time. The theory being that they went and they set these Purple Mountains up and refused to leave because we can't seem to get we can't seem to get Lisa Jackson, the administrator of the EPA, or any, not even one, not even, they won't even fly the janitor out here to look at a mountaintop removal operation, which the EPA continues to refer to as mountaintop mining, which is an industry term and not a reality term. I'm not sure, but for all I know, those Purple Mountains majesties are still there. And they're there because of what is going on here, because of the active... Jesus, these coal companies make Lucretia Borgia look like a piker as a poisoner. Nowhere to go. And there's not many other places on earth I'd be happy either that I know of. Nowhere to go. And so we will stand and we will fight and we will struggle and we will not give up. But even though we are poor as church mice, brokered in the Ten Commandments, even though all of that, we will not give in. I don't know if you'll ever see some banner on the Head On Radio Network site saying, hooray, we've raised $21,452. I don't know. Probably not. Because it's too much of a struggle for all of you to keep this going. We barely stay going as it is. And we move from crisis to crisis as we try to keep the lights on. Keep the mic hot, as Kate so often says. We're in the middle of a fight for our very lives. And it is a wearisome fight, and it is a tiresome fight, and it is a fight where it seems there is never any light at the end of the tunnel, at the end of the coal-black darkness. But I'll be damned if I will use that as an excuse to squeal that 45,000 American citizens need to goddamn well die for my website's vanity and ideological purity. I will not do that. I will turn the lights off and walk away from it all before I care that little for my fellow American citizens. By God Almighty, I will. Just will. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, do it live.
Do it live. That thing sucks.
How you doing, Bob? This is Sue.
What's up, Sue?
Out there? Hey, I just wanted to, real quick before I got into anything else, just want to give everyone a quick reminder that while you're doing your spring cleaning this year and you've got a nice clean wall in your living room or your family room or your whatever room, hop on over to the headonradio.com website and order yourself a brand new shiny for the love of West Virginia limited edition print and stick it there.
Amen.
To any room.
Even though it's headonradionetwork.com, I can't believe you made that mistake.
What did I say?
You said headonradio.com.
Oh, for crying out loud. Well, you can dock my pay this week.
Okay. By half.
By half. Oh, Lord.
I'm giving it all to me.
Well, this thing with pay and everyone trying to grab as much as they can, you know, a lot of people, and when I say a lot of people, I'm not referring to the majority of our listeners. Granted, we've got the stray neocon here and there. But the majority of our listeners, I'm not talking to them people. When I say these people need to realize, it's the neocons in D.C., it's the Blue Dog Democrats in D.C., it's any of these greeting sons of bitches like that people, you know, I live in Ohio, for anyone who doesn't know, and to see a fellow Ohioan shouting down someone with Parkinson's disease like we saw at that healthcare rally.
That had to hurt, Sue. That had to hurt.
Well, it's heartbreaking. It really is heartbreaking that kind of cruelty. I mean, we know it exists. You can't be that naive to think that it doesn't exist. And you know that it exists in your hometown. But to that level, I mean, my God, how mean can people be? I mean, this.
Did we ever find out what town that was in?
It's Columbus. It's one of the suburbs of Columbus.
Oh, okay.
They were right on the Olentangy River. On one side is the Olentangy River, so they could have very well been in Columbus proper because the Ohio State horseshoe is along the Olentangy River, too. So they could have been in Columbus proper.
Oh, God knows I've heard Brent Mushberger say, on the banks of the Olentangy River. Yep, okay, sorry.
You know, real quick about the sports thing and that, my football Jones is so strong right now, but I'm glad I don't have to hear Brent Mushberger. Anyway.
Now March Madness has started. It's on CBS, and we are Brent Mushberger safe.
Right on. Well, enjoy
And Dick Vitale safe. It's Duke, baby!
You can watch my share of basketball then. Anyway, this whole thing with health care and this whole thing with, you know, helping people who can't afford their drugs, this whole thing with unemployment, you know, the Republicans that don't want to give people unemployment anymore because it encourages people to stay home. What? What? All of this can be solved, and it will all fall in its proper perspective once these asshats finally realize that caskets do not come with luggage racks. You can't take it with you. Plain and simple. And no matter how much of it you feel you need to amass here, your relatives are never going to be able to take it with them. And they're still going to have to pay taxes on what they inherit for you anyway. So just get over your damn self. Honestly, you know, the other day I had to go to my vascular surgeon for like a 3-month checkup. And they did the whole series of venous Dopplers and ABI Dopplers and the blood pressure cuffs on everything. And this is the man who, without him, I wouldn't have feet or legs right now, okay? I mean, let's be honest about it. And I owe this man thousands of dollars because I have no insurance. And after I had these Dopplers done and did the treadmill and everything, and they checked all the blood pressures everywhere, and then I go in to visit with him then, he's holding my hand as he's laying me back on the table so that he can listen to my carotid arteries and things like that. And as he's laying me back, he says, you know, we really have a healthcare crisis in this country. And I just felt like grabbing him and pulling him down on top of me and hugging him. He is the first doctor, and I've been in and out of hospital since late 2008, and he's the first doctor that has ever said to me, we've got a healthcare crisis in this country. Something has to be done.
And, well, you know, that's one of the, I'm glad you mentioned that, Sue, because you know how it is with me getting right-wing pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got one here today.
Oh, Lordy.
Subject line, notable physician says a right to health care? Wrong. Richard Amerling, M.D., is a nephrologist. You know what a nephrologist is.
Right.
Practicing in New York City. He is an associate professor at Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York City and the director of outpatient dialysis at the Beth Israel Medical Center in New York City. Dr. Amerling studied medicine, yada, 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 yada. Dr. Amerling's position on Obama's health care reform. Obamacare, beyond the enormous costs and dislocations. Dislocations? I'm going to get tennis elbow? Yeah.
I'm gay.
Directly, and these guys can't resist. Do they know they write with this kind of sexual innuendo? Obamacare, beyond the enormous costs and dislocations, directly inserts itself into the doctor-patient relationship. It will make the practice of Hippocratic medicine. I will prescribe regimen for the good of my patients according to my ability and my judgment. I will keep them from harm and injustice, all but impossible. The absurd notion of a right to health care underlies the movement towards socialized medicine. If this right does exist, it becomes a moral imperative to guarantee it for all, i.e., universal coverage. What planet are these freaks on? Where? What?
Well, I can tell you exactly what planet they're from and where they are and where we can go to find them. We can find them any Sunday morning in many churches across this country, bucking for the Amen Corner. No, I was holier than thou this week. No, I was holier than thou this week.
Dr. Amerling says no right to health care has yet been unearthed in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, or in any Supreme Court decision. There's nothing even remotely related to health care in the Bill of Rights. Huh. Promote the general welfare? Did I miss that? Or is this like their neocon Bible and it's not in their neocon Constitution?
Well, just wait till the Texas school books are done rewriting it all. And then we'll see what's left.
And I love this unassailable logic. Whenever arguments devolve to this basic question, I ask, should there be a right to food or shelter? Both are even more essential to survival than health care. Suddenly backed into a corner, they answer, yes. Well, of course, this concept led directly to governmental programs such as food stamps and farm subsidies, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The entire debate. But see, this is where you find out that a right-winger is nothing but a damn liar, Sue.
Mm-hmm.
Because food stamps were not born of a need to feed the poor. They were born of a need to buy excess product from overproducing farmers. And the government then had all this stuff in all these warehouses, and we were running out of Russians to give it to. So they decided to give some to, you know, poor us. That's why there's a standing joke in this state about, you know, why can't you take a group picture of hillbillies? Because every time the photographer says cheese, we form a single line.
Cruel, but oh man. Well, and it's I'd never actually looked up the whole Ronald Reagan welfare queen thing until the other day, and he said that this woman was scamming the government out of $150,000 a year, and the media had repeatedly asked, you know, we'd like to interview her, and apparently the attorney general in Illinois. You know, because this woman was from Chicago's South Side, so says Ronnie Reagan. And the attorney general of Illinois finally come up with something that this here is a woman. And over the course of like a year and a half or so, it wasn't total cash like Ronald Reagan said this woman got, but it was, you know, scamming here, aliases here, kids that never existed.
Yeah, it wasn't cash like the banksters got.
Right, and this woman apparently was busted for it, but there was still never a single interview conducted with this woman to get her side of the story. I have a feeling that she just didn't exist whatsoever, Illinois Attorney General notwithstanding, or whoever the hell it was, because then they ended up being the Director of Public Poverty or something like that for Illinois, and it was under one of the Illinois governors and ended up going to prison like they also often do. And I was like, man, what, you know, how many generations? I mean, this whole welfare queen thing has been going on for a generation now, a generation and a half, actually.
Without a doubt.
And now the healthcare thing has been going on for about a generation. You know, it started in the 1990s with Clinton and, you know, evil Hillary trying to get stuff for everyone, you know. Now it's evil Barack's turn to try and get health care for it. I am just damn sick. You know, back in 2008 when I was in the hospital for a pretty good stretch there. And the one night, there was this woman across the hall from me and all night long, you know, it's not like I was sleeping anyway, and it didn't bother me. I just took notice of it because of the desperation in her voice. She kept hollering for water, water. And I would hear the nurses come into her room. They wouldn't go in her room, but they would go to the door at her room and say, you know, you can't have any water. You're having tests in the morning. And then it was the next morning that, you know, my doctors and my nurses, they want me to get up and walk around. And as best as I could, I did it. And this woman's family came in across the hall and you know, they kind of looked at me and, you know, just kind of waved at them. And they said, you know, we hope our mother doesn't, I think it was their mother, and one of them said it was their aunt, said, you know, we hope she's not keeping you awake at night. And I said, no, I said, it doesn't bother me. You know, she's just thirsty. You know, I wish someone would give her a drink of water. That's all she wants is a drink of water. And they said, they told me, you know, she can't have any. She's in kidney failure. And it's like, oh, Christ. And then they told me about, about how they were worried about how they were going to pay for this, you know. They were crunching numbers to see whose house they could better afford to put up if they eventually, and it's like, Christ almighty. And I really wish that I would have been of the frame of mind to get these people's contact information and touch base with them again, because this is serious. This woman is likely one of the 45,000 we hear about every year.
Yes.
I mean, it's just absolutely insane. And then we've got people like Bart Stupak that want to water and take out the public option and water the whole damn bill down because of abortion. I would like everyone.
That's such a red herring.
Yeah, this is like my call to action. I'd like everyone to join me tomorrow in flooding Stupak's office with calls about, you know, well, okay, that's all very well and good about him opposing abortion. I'd like to know, since he wants to control the reproductive tract of women, when is he going to start controlling the reproductive tract of men and make sure that no federal dollars go for erectile dysfunction drugs? Plain and simple.
Yeah.
if you don't want me to stop my reproductive tract from working because you feel it's going to be on your dime, then why should I give a damn if your reproductive tract starts working again on my dime? See how it's all kind of circular? We can play this goddamn game all day long. It will not eliminate the fact that 45,000 people are going to die this year. What is that, like one person every 12 minutes or one person every 12
minutes? Yeah, we did the math one evening, and it was really, really horrifying.
I mean, it's just fucking astounding, Bob. I'm sorry to use that word. It's just astounding. I mean, how many people will die in the course of the conversation that you and I are having right now? And nothing's going to change. I want to drag these people by the ear with me every time I go to the doctor. And look, you know, I didn't say anything to my doctor about, you know, sorry, you know, we can only send you $5-$10 a month until this thousands of dollars in bill is paid. Didn't say nothing about a bill, didn't say nothing. He was helping me lay down on the table so he could listen to my heart, my carotid arteries, and he said, and I don't care what anybody says, we have a health crisis in this country. And it's like, thanks, doc. I told him, I said, I can't tell you how much more comfortable that makes me feel, knowing I have a physician that feels that way.
No kidding.
Because there were a lot of the nurses at the hospital that I stayed at absolutely did not feel that way.
Yeah, and you know, in the course of our conversation, I just redid the math. And just for the sake, well, how can you say something as callous as just for the sake of argument? Just for the sake of reality? Just for the sake of remembrance, Sue? By the time this hour ends, in 13 minutes, 10 of our fellow Americans will be dead for want of access to coverage. You know, is that plain enough for Jane Hampshire?
Right. Is that plain enough for the guy that thought he could solve the man's health care crisis with Parkinson's down in Columbus by throwing $2 bills at him? Give me a fucking break. You people have absolutely no clue.
No, they got a clue. They got a clue, Sue. They're nasty. They're wicked people. And I say again, I don't like to throw that word around because of all the... they're not demon-possessed.
Right.
They're wicked people.
Right.
They are poor in spirit. They are bereft of morals. They are bereft of ethics. They are
bankrupt when it comes to the milk of human kindness or anything approaching or vaguely resembling human compassion. They are dead things walking. They're shambling around this planet. They're shambling around this nation. Grab, 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 get. Never realizing that there's a balance in all of this. Mark Twain talks about it in the War Prayer. When you pray for rain to fall on your field, you, by extension, pray for blight on someone else's. And that's where they are. And, you know, I don't know that this health care bill, Sue, will eliminate those 45,000 needless deaths. But what if it eliminates 10,000? What if it eliminates 5? What if it eliminates 100? Now, these right-wing freaks, Sue, like to talk about every baby's precious in the eyes of the Lord and every fetus is sacred. Now, how do they square that up with a calculus of 45,000 living, breathing, precious American citizens, their fellow human beings, every year? How do they square that up with that number? If we went to them and said, okay, we will criminalize abortion if you will just sit down and shut up and let us have single-payer health care, do you think for an instant that they would, Sue?
Hell no, they wouldn't.
And because I share the answer that you just proffered, why is that? If you give them their way, and they won't move an inch in our direction, why not? And I've spent a lot of time on this. The only answer I can come up with, Sue, is because they are morally, ethically dead, bankrupt, bereft, and pathetic.
Well, you know, think back to when we were all in grade school. We all pretty much had the same grade cards back then. And if you had a grade for citizenship, and they kind of graded you for how well you got along with others. And, you know, no parent was ever proud to say, little Susie come home and on her grade card she got an F in citizenship. She don't get along with nobody, ain't she, darling?
No. Oh, and by the way, I just saw this in the chat room, and I got to share this with you. This being reported by CBS News. Bart Stupak is now saying that because of his abortion position, his life has been made a living hell.
Oh.
All the phones are unplugged at our house, tired of the obscene phone calls and threats. People saying they're going to spit on you and all this, that's just not fun.
Oh.
Really, Bart? How much fun is it for somebody to lay there dying? Not going to the doctor, afraid to step out the door, afraid to call the ambulance, afraid to go to the hospital because of the cost. How much fun is that? How obscene is that, Bart Stupak? You know, I mean, that's me and I'm mean, right?
Well, you know, I honestly think that I should grab out the violin and start the pity party here on the East Coast if Sandra calls in and pledges to do the same thing out on the West Coast. I mean, we need to get the Bart Stupak pity party going here now, or someone's going to miss their chance to just say, you poor, blighted, blue dog, selfish-ass Democrat, you.
My staff is overwhelmed, and we're accosted basically wherever we go by people who disagree. We should have disagreements in this country. I, for one, am standing on a principle most Americans agree with. Really?
What's that?
Which one would that be? The part where 45,000 Americans die because you don't give a rat's rear end? Right. That principle, Bart?
So,
yeah.
I tell you, Bob, there's no time left because 10 people will die during the course of this, you know, is it top of the hour? I'm upstairs. I don't even have my laptop with me. I have no idea what time it is. I'm sure it's probably 8 o'clock by now, East Coast time, you know. 10 people have died in the second hour of this program, and another 10 people will die before the end of this show. 30 people. And, of course, the Head On with Bob Kincaid tonight. Sleep tight, America.
Yeah. You're next.
Yeah.
It's... It's sickening. It's heartbreaking. It's...
So I'd like everyone to join me in flooding Mr. Stupak's phones tomorrow.
Well, apparently they've unplugged them, Sue.
Well, then that means we'll get the Acorn Pit James O'Keefe going into Stupak's office asking why.
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
Because James O'Keefe and Mr. Acorn Pimp James O'Keefe is just that balanced that he will do it when a Democrat says, hey, I have unplugged my phones. He'll march right in there, won't he?
With his cell phone and these guys with their Maxwell Smart phony telephone in their belts and it jingling. And oh, God, it's the Mr. McBeavy episode from Andy Griffith.
I'm just thinking that. I'm going to go so you can move on to someone else. But everyone, when Stupak turns his phones back on, let's give him a reason to shut him the hell off again. I mean, if he's going to act like a dumbass, let's make him pay for it.
I mean, amen to that. Okay. But you know what? I want to make it clear. I would never spit on Bart Stupak.
Oh, no.
I have too much respect for my spit.
Right. I need the saliva that badly that, you know, I can't afford to give it away. So.
Yep, there we go. Sue,
okay.
Take care, dear.
Talk to you later, Bob.
Bye. All right. Later. Bye now. Co-webmistress of HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, chat room moderator, that is Sue, otherwise known to you in the chat room as ELO. And onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program. Hey, Juanita.
I have a couple of comments about two different subjects. You were talking about the welfare queen. Isn't it John Stoffel? Isn't that his name? That he's a real right winger.
He is. He's absolutely a wing nut.
He's a nasty one too. Anyway, you know, he wrote a book about all the stuff that people can get from the government, and he's got it like, you know, way over minimum wage. You know, all these different things. But the thing. And people buy that, you know, they believe that. But the thing is, he's counting all the things that you can apply for. It doesn't mean you would get them, you know, and that would include housing and, you know, different things like that. And I think a lot of people believe that people that are on welfare, if there are any more, I don't know, but, you know, that they've got all these things that they're getting for nothing, and that's just not true. Because you don't...
Well, they took care of that in 1995, didn't they? You know, welfare reform, remember that?
Yeah. But the thing is that before that, people weren't getting all that stuff either. Maybe in some sections of the country, but you don't get like housing. You don't qualify for everything. Now, I get food stamps. I get $14 a month.
Don't spend it all in one place,
you
one
know.
Of you. That's a half a month's worth of cup of noodles.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. But they'll say, oh, you get all this. Okay, people, now down in Florida, here in Florida, if you're a single person, you know, you don't have young children, you're not going to get anything. You're not going to get Medicaid or anything, and they just don't do it. You have to qualify to be on disability, but before that, you got to just do without. And, you know, they got some free clinics, but it's kind of like a minimal service. You know, you got to go about 6 months before they'll order an X-ray for you.
Right. It's like the free dental clinics. You know, they're not out there. They're not out there doing fillings.
Right.
They're pulling teeth.
Yeah. And
anyway, that's not to say that there aren't people who need teeth. That's not to say there aren't people who need teeth extracted.
Now, if you qualified for everything, yeah, you could probably get pretty good, but you would need it because you probably have a bunch of children. You know, and you know you would need all that extra. but you just don't get it. You know, they count all like the medical things that you would get and, or that you could get. Not what you always get, but you, what you could get. But anyway, the other thing I'm wanting to talk about, Sue was talking about her doctor, and I want to say something in memory of a doctor that I don't think he's living now, because the last I heard, you know, he was had a really bad stroke, and he moved back down to Miami. He was a Cuban. He was from Cuba. And anyway, he you know, came to Florida from, you know, to escape Castro. And of course, you know, they all became Republicans. Well, anyway, when he was up, he was always, I could always get free med from him. You know, he would see me for nothing, and he was a very generous person. So he had these ideas for health care for everybody in the United States. And I've got a copy of it somewhere. It's real simple, and he would get out and he would with other people, and he would picket Walgreens and all like that, you know, because of the amount of money they were charging for drugs. He was just really for the people. Well, he decided to run for Congress, and as a Republican, it was as for House of Representatives. And also, I want to say that he was a freedom fighter. You know, he went down there, you know, and he nearly starved on the way back. He was found in a boat, passed out, you know, from starvation and everything. Anyway, he made it. But anyway, he ran, and he got the Republican, and they Republicans would not have it. They completely rejected him, and he turned into a Democrat. And he ran for Senate, United States Senate. I don't know if you remember when Hillary's brother ran down here, I think her youngest brother, and they became friends and all. But he would get out. He and people say, well, what is he doing that for? He would get out and protest with people. You know, he stood up for what he believed in. But I just wanted to say something in honor of him.
That's good of you. That's really good of you.
Well, you know, there are doctors. I know. Seem like I have friends in the nursing. You know, and a lot of them, a lot of the RNs that I know, they're for, you know, health care and all. And the doctor's office where I go, the people over there, they're for it. They're hoping, you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting just looking at this list that Scott sent along earlier today. You know, that outright lying ad from Americans for Prosperity.
Uh-huh.
That said that, you know, that European countries lag behind the U.S. in in cancer survivability. Well, just check out
somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just check out some of these numbers.
I don't believe anything.
The United States has 321.9 deaths per 100,000 people from cancer. Okay.
Yeah.
Australia has 298. Okay, they're not in Europe, but Norway is at 289.4, and France is at 286.1. Austria is at 280. Sweden is at 268.2. Finland is at 255.4. And the UK is at 253.5. Now, granted, there are higher numbers in the Czech Republic, 335 to our 321. Ireland, 357 to our 321. Slovakia and Luxembourg and Hungary, Italy, and the Netherlands are all above our 321. But you know what? As many are better than us as are worse than us.
Well, don't you think also that a lot of cancer is not reported, cancer deaths is not reported? It's reported as heart attacks or strokes or something.
It's hard to know. I mean, these are supposedly scientific studies.
But somewhere before, I have worked in medical records in hospitals, and you keep records of how many people died of cancer and so forth. And if they died of a heart attack, they would be included as a heart attack. And they could have cancer, and the cancer might have made their heart bad. And
right.
So, but anyway, they like to cook the book. But now, I know doctors like that when you were talking about. There's some nasty, mean doctors. And they, and another thing they talk about is shutting the hospitals down. Well, we had that, when Medicare changed in 1980. And, where they pay that so much a day thing. I've forgotten that one.
The daily rate, yeah.
Yeah. And we lost a lot of small hospitals down here because of it. Because they would run the good doctors. It was supposed to take away the bad doctors. But the bad doctors work with the system. They play the system. Just like the hospitals that were hanging around. But we lost a lot of small hospitals, nice little small hospitals during that time. And that was back in the 80s. And we lost a lot of good doctors because they had these people that just had BA degrees that come in and tell the doctors, that was their job to tell the doctors that, well, you can't have this patient here. And they need to be sent to a nursing home or they need to go home, Well, hey, I'm the doctor. A good doctor say, I'm the doctor. But that's just a few of the things that happened back then. And also back then, that insurance, malpractice insurance was extremely high back then. They had been having trouble with that for a long time. And it's just not common public knowledge. A lot of the things, it's like I told my right-wing friend, she said, oh, they charge these doctors all this money. I said, they've been doing that for a long, long time. You just didn't hear about it. People weren't listening. It's just like now, people are starting to listen about the right-wing so-called Christians. That what they've done, and I said yesterday about the news people, but I think it's more the right wing, people like Pat Robertson. Because I remember when I used to watch him, he would have these lessons for you, talking about humanism, how godless humanism was, and different things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that caused more harm.
Oh, without a doubt, Juanita, without a doubt.
Yeah. And then you got, like, Rush Limbaugh said, oh, yeah, there's nothing to that torture. And they get even to the point where they say it's all right to molest somebody's child if they can get the information. I mean, torture the child, really bad. And they get to where they believe it. And you get this mindset, people's mindset, just like that, them treating that guy with Parkinson. You get that mindset. And it's like you
But again, I think like with the Parkinson's business in Ohio yesterday, Juanita, it's important to note that was not an isolated occurrence. I don't,
sure.
Mocking people with disease.
Yeah.
I can't prove a direct causal link. I won't say that. But I will argue that when leading spokes creeps for an entire movement like Rush Limbaugh mock someone like Michael J. Fox, it makes it more likely that someone will do it in a less public venue, but will do it publicly just the same.
Well, you know what it reminded me of when I saw that first time I saw it. I see this scene, you know, from Nazi Germany that I've seen several times on newsreels about this Nazi tormenting this old Jewish woman, just poking at her and prodding her. You know, they're going to take them off in wagons, probably to be shot. But that reminds me of that. And this is what is in our country and is sick. And I think one of the biggest things that needs to be done is to investigate those creeps that have been in office. Whether they go to jail or not, but let's have public hearings, please. You don't let murder things, they've done murder and worse. And you don't let those things go. There's no statute of limitations on murder. You can't just look to the future and, I mean, why should we even have any kind of trials for anybody? Why should anybody have to pay for murdering somebody? That was in the past. Get over it.
Indeed. Indeed.
I really believe that, and it just sticks in my craw, and about them, you know, about Obama saying, you know, well, we want to look to the future. I'm sorry. Your future is going to be investigation if they get back in control. Look how they're going to...
And, you know, that's what Bartkoff said. He said, you know, go ahead. Let the right-wingers have
yeah.
Don't get behind this. Let this absolutely do, you know, the right-wingers admitted it, Juanita. It was
yeah.
Jim DeMented who said, we're going to make this Obama's Waterloo. And you know what?
Oh,
if they if they succeed and they get the House back, is there anybody out there that thinks that they won't immediately start looking for some sort of grounds for impeachment? Because they don't play ball like we do.
No, they don't.
They don't,
and
they don't fight by, right. They don't fight by the Marcus of Queensberry rules.
Look at how quick they are to investigate that congressman. Was it Massa? Was his name? The
yeah.
Democrat congressman.
Although,
look
admittedly, the guy made a bit of a fool of himself.
As soon as they get in, as soon as they take over, and God forbid if they do, I don't know what we're going to do.
Well,
anyway,
like I said, you know, we got nowhere to run to. We got nowhere to hide.
No. But remember they investigated all kind of stuff. You know, remember they investigated about socks, the cats, mail.
Oh, yes. And by the way, did you know that you remember Filegate?
Which one?
The Filegate over the White House travel office.
Oh, Lord, yes. I heard that.
Do you know that investigation just recently finally closed?
You're kidding.
At a cost of untold millions of taxpayer dollars.
Yeah.
They finally closed Filegate with the conclusion that there was never anything there all along.
But they would investigate. You know, if you looked at them sideways, you know, they would have you investigated. And hearings, all these hearings. and that's what we'll be in for. And we won't have any kind of medical help of any kind.
No, and I know it puts some people off, but I'm convinced that there is more. There's a lot of bad in this, but I'm convinced that there's more good in it than bad.
Yeah, well, that's what, you know, Kucinich, you know, I heard his statement, him making his statement, and he said, I don't really like, he said, this bill, but he said, we do have to start somewhere, and he said he had consulted with, you know, different people, and also his wife. I thought that was sweet. And,
well, and you know what? Elizabeth Kucinich has a valid perspective.
Yeah.
Because she has, well, frankly, when you've spent any considerable amount of time in Africa working in the conditions there, you get a real sense of perspective for what it means to talk about living on the fringe of existence.
Yeah. I bet, yeah. But you were talking earlier, too, about, you know, when God said it doesn't mean anything, all your great works, look at if it doesn't have the right motivation. I think about, you know, how they brag about all the millions or billions of dollars, supposedly, that Bush sent to Africa for AIDS and all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, none of that even means anything if it's not.
No, and you know what? Let's add one thing to that. Even when Bush announced that, and it was quickly deconstructed for being more publicity stunt than anything.
Of course.
But there were even then so-called conservatives and so-called Christians.
Yeah.
Who were having an absolute fit about it.
Yeah.
Because remember, Jerry Falwell said that HIV is God's plague on the gay community.
Right, right.
Never mind the people who aren't gay who get it. But
I know it. That's I had a so-called friend one time that she kept saying that, and I said, well, what about the little baby that innocent and wives that get it maybe from their husbands? She said, oh, well, you know, that's just too bad. But
yeah.
But anyway, well, I wanted to have my
God moves in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
I hate it when they pull that one out of the hat, too.
They ain't got him figured out. You don't put God in a box. I found that out. I think that's why he liked me, kept on with me, because I can't be put in a box. I can't even put my own stuff in a box. You know how people try to figure you out?
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, you know, all these little cure-alls and so forth, you just watch out, because it just is what I've learned to know about him is that you do not put him in a box. He likes to do things in a variety of ways. No.
Whoever he may be, or it may be, or she may be.
Well, I spent most of my life thinking he hated me, you know, so.
Well, and see, that's where you messed up. The right wing would like for you to go on thinking that.
Of course.
Because, you know, that's their credo as neo-Calvinists. You'd be rich if God liked you.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know. They used to say, oh, you tithe and you do this and that and the other. It's going to work out, you know. And you'd be hoping for a crust of bread, you know.
Exactly. Juanita, have a great night.
You too.
Talk to you soon.
Okay,
bye.
Night.
Oh, let's see. Well, I kind of ran over the top of the hour, but that's okay. A little interlude for us. Lottie sent this along, and it looks like darn good fun, so let's have a run. We're Number 37 by Paul Hipp.
Sure to bring your gun and buddy. We're number 37. We in the Jones. We're number 37. Yeah, we're the USA. We're number 37. And we got something to say. We pay more for less, 40% in fact. Let's bite a finger off, shout at the handicap. Cause buddy, we're number 37. Yeah, we're the USA. Alright, we're number 37. We're the USA. We're number 37. We're the USA. We're number 37. Yeah, we're the USA.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. You know, Grandpa once told me, boy, if you're ever going to do anything, try to be 37th best at it. Yeesh. Well, let's go to the phones and see what's happening. A little bit of time left if you want to jump in, 40 minutes or so. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Easy, easy, easy. See who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Oh, hey, it's Michael.
Hey, Michael, what's up?
Oh, not much. That was quick. I just called and got right through.
Well, we're good that way.
Yeah, it doesn't usually work out that way, but especially when I call this late in the show. Yeah, I just called. I emailed you earlier today, and then the whole Kucinich thing and all that, and then I realized I forgot to mention something. And totally different topic, sort of.
But that's okay too. That's how it works here.
Sure. Yeah. This is sort of the type of thing that usually David from Maine would call in about. So I don't know. Maybe he still will. I'm not sure. But I don't know. Did you hear today that Alex Chilton died?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I guess he was 59 years old. I'm not exactly sure. I just walked in, just got out of work, but I had read that earlier today. Didn't really get a chance to look into it too much. I think I might have actually heard it this morning first on NPR when I was getting ready for work because, I got, the little radio in the bathroom pretty much only picks up NPR.
Liberal transistors.
Right, yeah. They mentioned, Alex Chilton of the band, The Box Tops. And I gotta admit, this shows kind of, I guess how much I have to learn about, pop music history and whatnot. I was like, who in the hell are The Box Tops? Wasn't Alex Chilton from the band Big Star? And,
he was both.
Enough, well, yeah. See, I never heard of The Box Tops, though. But yeah, he was both. But I guess I would have thought, the obit would have been Alex Chilton of Big Star, and then mentioned The Box Tops, who I'd never heard of, but so I guess I got a little bit to learn. But I heard that and I just kind of was like, oh damn, cause he's only 59. I don't know if it was a heart attack, something like that, I think. Like I said, I haven't had a chance to look into all the
details. Well, his wife said he had been complaining of shortness of breath and chills.
Okay. But one thing that I did notice was, he's only 59. And, I guess Big Star got back together a number of years ago. And, they were actually going to be playing, this weekend or sometime real soon.
Yeah, it's South by Southwest down in Austin.
It's just like, oh. Damn, you know what I mean? It's just like, not like I was going to be there, but I'm a little far from Austin, but still, it's just like, oh, God, that's just, oh, man, what a big bummer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I was talking about my ignorance. I never heard of The Box Tops, but Big Star, even, honestly, they're one of those bands that I've always, really... Well, they're one of those bands that's really never gotten their due. And I gotta admit that, I gotta include myself in that group because, they're one of those bands that
the letter,
Well, wasn't that a, Yeah, I heard them mention that song. Wasn't that a Box Top song?
Yeah.
See, I don't know if I've ever heard that. I mean, maybe if I hear it, I'll recognize it. But I know I've heard, you know, probably more stuff by Big Star than the Box Tops. But I don't know. But as far as Big Star's more where I'm familiar with him, but not nearly as well as I should be. My impression was always that they're one of those bands that never really got their due. And like I said, I kind of include myself in that group because, you know, I never really had anybody who sort of like was like, hey, Michael, you got to sit down with this record as far as Big Star is concerned. I mean, I've had, you know, people sit me down and, you know, introduce me to other bands, but Big Star was never one of them. But I always was sort of familiar with them tangentially, because they were one of those bands that I think influenced a lot of different musicians, like Paul Westerberg and the Replacements, or REM, and honestly, I don't even think I have any Big Star in my collection. It's one of those bands
I just checked. I don't.
Yeah, it's one of those bands I always have meant to make the time for, but I know I do have in my collection several, you know, covers of Big Star songs, you know, by, you know, the bands that I grew up with, like Garbage and the late Elliott Smith. I mean,
the only version of The Letter I've got is by Joe Cocker, and, you know.
Okay.
He's an acquired taste, Joe is.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm sure David from Maine could talk a lot more eloquently about Alex Chilton than I can, or maybe David from Tennessee. Probably, you know, between the two of them, probably one or both of them probably knows a hell of a lot more than I do. But they're one of those bands I always kind of meant to make the time for, and I just never really got around to it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm really taken with this Paul Hipp guy who did We're Number 37 that was playing when you called in.
Paul Hipp?
Yeah, H-I-P-P.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Well, there's another one here that might be worth sharing just because it's so apropos and looks just crazy enough for a couple of minutes between you and me.
I wish they would. I wish the American media would take a great look at the views of the people in Congress and find out, are they pro-America or anti-America?
This is Bachman-McCarthy Overdrive.
Back to Tarkenton. I even went to rehab at Hazelden. Hate speech is anti-American. Everybody's laughing at Michelle Bachman. Minnesota is alive. Bopping stupid overdrive. What's the word?
Tinklenburg.
What's the word?
Tinklenburg.
What's the word?
Tinklenburg.
What's the word?
Tinklenburg.
Lies an innuendo at the country's expense.
We have got to stop this kind of nonsense.
Minnesota, lead the way. Take it back to good old USA. From fundamental midgets and their psycho jive. Bachman McCarthy overdrive. What's the word?
Tinklenburg.
Yeah, this goes back to when Tinklenburg was running against Michelle Bachman and narrowly lost. But Bachman McCarthy overdrive, Michael? That's
No, as soon as you said that, I just started laughing.
Because she's still, I don't know if you've seen it, but she's still at it.
No, I know. I just saw her on TV yesterday talking about
the treason media.
Anti-American Activities Committee or something. I'm like, I remember reading about that in history.
I love this line. She went on, Bingo Billy Bennett, Aboard All the Black Babies and End All the Crime, program.
Yeah.
And he says, and of course they're having a fit about this obscure congressional procedure that every Republican in the House has voted on probably a dozen times each, called Beam and Pass, which isn't even going to be used. That, you know, just another case of right wingers making crap up. And so, you know, when you're really good and nuts, you know, when the acid's just kicking in real good, you can go on Bill Bennett's program and just say anything in the world, and you'll be a conservative, you know, a leader of the conservative movement. So she went on there today and talking about this demon pass. And Bill Bennett, who probably still has Cheetos dust on his fingers from when he was sitting naked in his private Las Vegas suite playing his lone one-armed bandit with one hand and eating Cheetos and whatever else with the other, said, "Are you kind of surprised with even the media's disgust with the procedures?" And Michelle Bachman says,
"Well, I'm amazed that they actually were willing to be shocked. Because for most of the time they've been, and, you know, I don't mean any disrespect, but they've been treason media.
I don't mean any disrespect, Michael, but they've been treason media."
Yeah. I
definition, yeah. Dictionary, treason, and you don't mean any disrespect. Yeah,
no
treason.
Disrespect, I just think you should be killed.
Right, there you go. It's the only crime in the Constitution for which there is a prescribed penalty, and the penalty is death.
I mean no disrespect, but what you've done is worthy of being hung, yeah, or hanged. I always forget which it is. But
right.
Yeah, that's going back to that song, though, that was another one by Paul Hipp.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that is great. But when you said the title, I just started cracking up.
Well, yeah, this guy's apparently a genius because he's also the man who brought us, and we played it on the show many, many moons ago, or maybe Peter Godbold played it on Strictly Confidential. He's also the guy who brought us Meth and Man-Ass.
Okay, oh, my God. Okay. The first thing I thought of when you, not to get too far afield, but when you said the title, I was already won over. And then the actual song was just sort of, you know, icing on the cake. As an example, there's this socialist rock band from Wales that's been around a long time called Manic Street Preachers. And on their new album, they have a song called Jackie Collins Existential Question Time. Okay?
That sounds fun all by itself.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm going with this. And I read somewhere on a book, it's a funny song, it's a really good song, but I read somewhere on a message board or something where somebody said, or maybe there's a review on iTunes, I don't know, but somebody said about Jackie Collins' Existential Question Time, I gave it 5 stars on the title alone. And when you said,
Bachman-McCarthy Overdrive, I know.
Bachman-McCarthy Overdrive, immediately I was like, that song gets 5 stars just for the title.
Yeah, I remember way, way, way back when I was DJing at West Virginia University in the student station there, I remember there was an album title called If You Leave Me, Can I Come Too?
That's good.
And, how do you not?
Yeah. Do you remember who that was by?
No, I don't. But,
to look it up, yeah. If You Leave Me, Can I Come Too? I like that.
Yeah.
I'll get off here. I just wanted to mention that about Alex Chilton.
Yeah, but you made me want to play Meth and Man-Ass, though.
Okay.
This kind of has to happen.
Okay.
Meth and Man-Ass on a Sunday morning. Meth and Man-Ass, you're
well convinced he's a genius, Michael.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Well, and it's actually oddly apropos because there's another story out there that's just an absolute knock me over with a feather. Well, let's leave the feathers out of that. They probably enjoy that too. There were some hearings before the Senate Armed Services Committee today on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Right.
And a retired general named John J. Sheehan, I'm sure no kin to Cindy, former Supreme Allied Commander for NATO, appeared before the Senate Armed Services Committee about the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and he was against the repeal. And, you know, you might want to, this might be one of those Bill Hicks sit down, strap in moments.
Okay.
He argued, did retired General Sheehan, that, do you remember the massacre at Srebrenica? When Bosnian Serb soldiers, slaughtered wholesale, 7,000 Bosnian Muslims in July 1995. The Srebrenica genocide was reported as the largest mass murder in Europe since World War II. Well, General Sheehan blamed that on the fact that the Dutch military has a policy that says it doesn't matter whether you're gay or straight in order to be in the Dutch military.
What the?
Yeah, I know.
What? How? What?
Yeah.
Wait. This guy was a general. What? What's his rank? Or
he was the former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO.
Oh my God. It's like Dr. Strangelove or something. You know what I mean? Yes, it is.
We can't let the gays in here. They'll see the big board. They'll see everything.
To think there are, you said former, right?
Yeah.
But still, to think that there are or were people whose brains work like that in charge of shit, it's just...
Well, okay, here's the thing. At the time in Srebrenica, there were 450 Dutch soldiers. Maybe some of them were gay. Against the Bosnian Serb army. Okay? So here's the testimony. Don't loosen the cuffs yet, Michael.
Okay.
Let me work up my best General Ripper here. The case in point that I'm referring to was when the Dutch were required to defend Srebrenica against the Serbs. The battalion was under strength, poorly led. And the Serbs came into town, handcuffed the soldiers to the telephone poles, marched the Muslims off, and executed them. That was the largest massacre in Europe since World War II. So Senator Carl Levin says, and did the Dutch leaders tell you it was because there were gay soldiers there? Sheehan, it was a combination. Did they tell you that?
Yes.
That's my question.
They included that as part of the problem.
That there were gay soldiers among the Dutch force.
The combination was the liberalization of the military, the net effect of basically social engineering and the watering down of their precious bodily fluids.
Sorry, I had the precious bodily fluids part. Seemed kind of apropos, didn't it?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we need, a little cold water on the back of the neck and don't ask, don't tell. This guy's insane. I mean,
if you're...
They handcuffed the soldiers to the telephone poles. And the problem was, the gay guys liked it.
If he's so concerned about the mass slaughter of Muslims...
Yeah, there's that too, huh?
If he's so concerned about the mass slaughter of Muslims, shouldn't he be a little more freaked out about the Jesusing up of the armed forces than... You know what I mean? Than gays? I mean... You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
Bible verses on your scope and all that shit. I mean, what the...
What did I tell you? Don't unstrap.
Yeah, this guy wanted 450 Dutch soldiers, and you know, never mind Dutch or American or anybody. 450 soldiers were supposed to stare down the entire Bosnian Serb army and say, pick up the gun. Really? 450? I mean, I don't even know if there, I don't even know if there's a Bosnian Muslim word for Alamo. Jesus. Poorly led soldiers. You know, that's the thing. He wants to come in and say that, well, you know, it's because they were gay. You know, they were, we had 450 Dutch soldiers of them and, there, and 225 of them were picking out window treatments. It's 450 against thousands.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take a minute to wipe them out. You can't even do hand-to-hand fighting in a city with 450 versus, you know. You can't do it. And that, and 450 against that are going to stop them from rounding up Muslims and taking them off and committing a little genocide? Excuse me? This guy's insane. I mean, he really is. He's General Ripper insane.
Right.
You know, I'm surprised he didn't sit there and say, Senator Levin, get me a grain of alcohol and rainwater and whatever it is that you British people drink. You Michigan Jewish people drink. Logan David, something like that. But, you know, the right wing will put up anybody just to say crap. You know, the health care bill is toxic now because they're going to vote on it on Sunday, and the Sunday is now the universal Sabbath?
Yeah.
Hello? I mean, and we know fundamentalists don't care much for Jewish people or Muslims, but, you know, what about the Seventh-day Adventurers or Adventists? They don't do Sunday either.
Right.
I mean, it just beats me.
Yeah, they do that.
You know,
and so this is at the Don't Ask, Don't Tell hearings. Wasn't it the other day? Was it Petraeus or somebody who wanted to make a statement about why Don't Ask, Don't Tell should be repealed? And McCain basically was like, "I'm sorry, we don't have time to hear." Did you catch that?
Yeah, I did.
I thought Rachel was talking about it. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Our time's up. Oh, too bad, General.
You
too
know,
bad.
Well, McCain doesn't have, McCain, you know, war hero McCain, doesn't have time to listen to Petraeus? I mean, what?
Yeah, and of course, this is one of the guys. This is the one.
Something tells me that if Petraeus said, well, I would like to, you know, hoorah the policy and tell you why we should, you know, keep it going another 200 years. Something tells me McCain might have found the time in that hearing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Take
and this,
the time
and
you
understand,
want.
Understand, this general is one of the retired generals that Bomber John is relying on, Michael.
Yeah.
For why we shouldn't.
Yeah. Oh, they're a fun bunch.
You know, there's no atheists in foxholes, but apparently there are gay people in street fighting. There are gay people. There are gay people in hand to hand.
Right.
I guess I guess McCain and all these bass ackwards freaks never saw those pictures of what was his name, Jimmy Jeff Ganniguck, Jeff Gannon, Talon News, also the host of Hot Military Studs for You.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh. But, yeah, I thought that after playing Meth and Man-Ass, it was almost impossible not to do that story. So I apologize for doing it on your nickel, but my God.
No. That's just, wow. Yeah.
Honest to God, you know, we're living Dr. Strangelove. We're living Catch-22 because they got hold of the film and the book, and they thought they were training manuals and not satire.
Oh, I don't know what to say. but just to go back to where I started though, Alex Chilton, I'll just put that out there. I'm just guessing David from Maine probably knows a hell of a lot more than I do about Alex Chilton.
And you know who's playing in New Braunfels, Texas tonight, right?
Truckers?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
At the oldest dance hall in Texas, the Groom.
Yeah. Aren't they all though? Seriously, when I saw Will last year, Will Kimbrough, he said something about he had played at the oldest dance hall in Texas, and I swear he made some joke, some crack like that.
They are all
the oldest dance halls.
But those dance halls in Texas are actually one of the oldest forms of the community center in the country.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I'm not knocking them.
No, me either, but it really is, they were objects of civic pride. And it's like the great beer brewing tradition in Texas. You know, Germanic and Bohemian and Czech, immigrant communities, they got to where they were going. They built a house, they built a church, and then they got busy on a brewery and a dance hall. And that's how you build a community.
Sure.
So, absolutely.
But I was just going to say about Alex Chilton, just put this out there to David and Maine, if he is a lot more knowledgeable about, Big Star and the like than I am, by all means enlighten me. Because he'll either call on your show or maybe he'll talk about it with John on Sunday.
Okay, cool. Well, Michael, have yourself a good evening and, we will talk soon.
You too.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Evening,
see you. Bye now.
Yep. Bye.
Michael calling from, the Columbus area, otherwise known in the chat room as Kid A. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
Yes.
I have worked with some of these four-star generals, and they are as mad as hatters.
This guy's got to be crazier than Sprayed Roach.
I have never seen such prejudice that would occur among people who have gotten to the very top of the ladder of a corporation, and that's exactly what it is, a corporation. And it is incredible that a four-star general who was commander of our forces in NATO would even dare to come on the air and say something like that.
Or say it in front of a Senate committee, Jim.
I don't know what to say. I sent you an email. I want you to read it, and I want to apologize for some things in the past, okay?
Okay. All well and good.
And I hope you don't mind if I call in on occasion.
Not at all. Not at all. You had expertise to offer on this particular topic, and I'm glad that you did.
Well, over the years, I've tried to share what expertise I've had. Sometimes we've agreed to disagree, but, that's in the past.
Indeed. Indeed. And I'm glad you did. An apology accepted, and it goes the other way, too.
And to John Fox, too.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Thank you. He'll be gratified to hear it, and I'm sure it goes in from him as well.
My best to you and your family.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Take care.
Bye.
Bye now. It's our old buddy, Jim. How about that? Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Hey, boss. What's up?
I don't know, but let me say, be the first or second to say, welcome back, Jim.
Yes, indeed.
We are a forgiving people. I think we had that conversation earlier today.
We did indeed, didn't we?
Yes, we did. I know it's late and everything. I just want to vent and tell you what I'm going to do. I'm fighting a company, a roofing company in West Virginia. It's a West Virginia company. All of their employees are from North Carolina. Now, all of their employees are Hispanic. I have no problem with that. I don't know if they're legal, not legal. And I don't have the authority to find that out, and the people that have the authority aren't interested in knowing.
Right. You just know that West Virginia jobs are being given to people who aren't West Virginians.
And that, right. And my problem with this company is every one of them is listed as North Carolina. And we are spending state taxpayers' money putting new roofs on schools. And we keep employing this company that employs all their people are from North Carolina. And I'm sick and tired of it. And I went before the school board 2 weeks ago and told them that. and told them that, you know, and, well, and then this particular company, I've had a case going with the Department of Labor, who a week ago finally came out with the results of their investigation, and their investigation was that this company is cheating their employees. They are not paying prevailing wage. The company signed an agreement with the Department of Labor to pay these employees back $113,000 in back wages. I brought that to the school board. That doesn't seem to matter, that they break the laws. You know, when you follow the law and you bid on a project, it's pretty hard to beat somebody that breaks the law.
Well, it's hard to win. It's hard to win a game when you're playing by the rules and the other guy's cheating.
Well, that's exactly right. So the school board, I told them, you have enough justification here to award this job to the most responsible bidder, who is not the lowest bidder. Of course, they don't have enough guts to do that. So I asked them, if you have, you know, if you don't do anything else, at least put off awarding this bid until I have a chance to have a meeting with the West Virginia School Board Authority. I had that meeting today with Dr. Manchin, who runs the thing. Well, lo and behold.
Not Governor Manchin.
Not Governor Manchin. It's his cousin.
I was going to say, same family?
Same family.
Okay, just checking.
It's his cousin. Nice guy.
Yeah.
They're all nice guys.
Oh, they're great people.
You know. They have legitimate concerns. I know their concerns. You know, lo and behold, the guy that owns this roofing company, of course, you know, got wind of what I'm doing and that I was before the school board. So he had a meeting with Dr. Manchin before I did.
Well.
Yeah, isn't that convenient, you know. And, you know, so the first the SBA, the School Building Authority, has what they call the 18 points. 18 points are that you're not in violation of laws, that you have an apprenticeship program, that you provide health care and pension to your employees, and yada, you know, your experience on the job, that you have drug testing and all that. The 18th, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is the low price. So I go into this meeting, and the first thing he tells me, if the only thing that you got is that these people don't have the apprenticeship program, that's not enough for me to do anything. I said, number one, that is not the only thing I have. Well, you know, Mr. Robinson, who owns this company, explains to me that the reason they don't have apprentices is because an apprentice program isn't available to non-union companies.
And why might that be?
That would be because the non-union companies refuse to fund an apprenticeship program. Our union contractors, for every employee on a union job, they pay a minimum of 65 cents an hour into the apprentice programs for whatever employees are there. Carpenters, laborers, bricklayers, you know, steel worker, iron workers, whatever. You know, they pay a minimum of 65 cents an hour to fund this program. Millions of dollars a year to fund this program. The non-union employers, construction companies, refuse to fund one. So it's not available to them because they choose not to make it available. They can comply with that very easily. They can fund a program. They refuse to do that. That's my fault. That's my union construction company guys' fault. They should be rewarded because they do fund the program. But anyway, what it all comes down to, and, you know, he's going to consider all the points that we brought up and blah, 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 blah. But this bid, I got put off for 2 weeks. Next Tuesday is another school board meeting. And, you know, you deal with these people, and all it is everybody passing the buck. And, you know, I'm going to that school board meeting, and I'm sure that the owner of this company is going to be there, and I'm looking forward to that. And what I need is there's a five-member board, and I'm going to tell them is, and, you know, two of them are up for reelection, two of them that we endorsed and supported in their last election. And, you know, there's always an election coming up, and I'm just going to tell them flat that I'm tired of getting, you know, shuffled from one agency to the other, from everybody making excuses. The fact of the matter is that school board has the authority to do the right thing. And I'm going to tell them what I need is three brave individuals that are willing to stand up for West Virginia workers to vote to do the right thing. And if you choose not to do that, you will no longer get our endorsements. And, you know, two of you are up for election this year. The rest of you aren't, but there's another election coming up. And, you know, as much effort as we put into getting you elected, we can put more effort into getting you beat.
Hear, hear.
Period. That's exactly what I'm going to say.
And, you know, Wayne, what you're doing there is part, and I realize they are separate topics, but it's part of a little awakening that may be taking place inside the liberal mind these days. You know, when you see that there's a primary challenger to Bart Stupak, and what you manifest, what you're willing to manifest in the way of, you know, straighten up and fly right, or we'll find somebody who can. That's what we've needed to be doing all along. Of course, you've been doing it all along. And I don't see how it's harmful.
We haven't been as open, you know. I mean, you know, and it's amazing. Like every one of these meetings you go to, there's always a reporter there from the newspaper. You know, I turn over at the last meeting. I turn over evidence, a copy of this agreement, to every one of the board members and the superintendent of schools of these people cheating, breaking the laws in West Virginia, the laws that and you know, not all, I'm not saying that all non-union contractors are cheats. You know, there are many of them that follow the law and that are, you know, they're good contractors. But when you present evidence that, you know, there is a company that's cheating, and they have been awarded millions of dollars worth of jobs, then the next morning get up and read the newspaper and find out that, number one, I wasn't even at the meeting because it was never mentioned. And I don't care if you mention my name, you know, say a representative from the union presented evidence that this company cheated. I don't care. You know, but it was not even mentioned. You know, the big thing is that Raleigh County isn't going to be able to make up all their school days. That's what the report, or, you know, snow
yeah.
days. That's what the report's about. Now, what kind of, you know.
But backing up, I'm a little disturbed by this. I'm a little disturbed by this ex parte meeting that the other side had. Isn't that a little bit shady?
Well, he has the right. You mean with the school building authority?
Yeah.
He has the same right to have a meeting with them as I do, you know.
But there's no sunshine requirements or open meetings or.
Well, that's something to consider.
I would think. I mean,
you know, I'm a car, you know, I know this guy is going to be at the meeting Tuesday. But I'm going to call him up and tell him, look, you should be at that meeting because I'm going to be there to badmouth your ass as much as I can, and maybe you want to defend yourself. You know, I mean, it.
Can't nobody say you wasn't fair.
Well, I've done that in the past. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I don't, you know me with all my, I went to a pre-bid the other day and I got my carpenter jacket on with my carpenter emblem on it, and I got a big badge on my coat that says I'm union and I vote, and I've got, you know, union yes pins and nurses pins and you know, anything you can imagine. And I walked up to a non-union contractor who, you know, I have a good relationship with him. He occasionally signs agreement and uses some of our people. And he said, Wayne, you look like a damn walking billboard. And I said, well, thank you, Kenny. And I said, that's because I don't want there to be any doubt in anybody's mind who I represent. And he said, believe me, nobody has to guess. I said, well, I'll take that as a compliment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But anyway, I know it's late, boss, and
yeah, it's time to roll on, but I'm glad you called in.
Okay, and you know, like, well, you know, welcome back, Jim, and well, it's been an exciting week, you know, hear from Bruce, hear from Jim.
Kind of like old home week.
Isn't it? It's exciting. It's exciting.
It is indeed.
So good night to everybody, and you know, keep on fighting the fight.
Hear, hear.
Everybody. And, well, you know, I don't know. Let's get more intense, I guess. I don't know. Stand up and tell people what you believe.
Don't be afraid.
So.
That's the truth. All right,
good
man.
Good night to everybody. Good night to you, man, and I'll be talking to you.
All right. Take care.
All right, brother.
See you, Wayne.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. That's the boss man. That's Wayne. When he tells others to be fearless, he's not saying do as I say and not as I do. I've never met a more fearless man. And you know what? It matters and it works. So that's the program for tonight. Friday on the front porch, God willing, the crick don't rise tomorrow. Do please remember, if you have the ability, that we live in dire straits. We stay in dire straits. The Horn struggles every month to come up with the bare minimum of what it takes to make this happen. And when you consider the sum that we try to raise as compared to things like 21,341 to run a text site, we ask for, and that's like a quarter, maybe a month, I don't know. We try to get $24,000 a year to run an entire radio network where no one gets paid. And we struggle for that. Because, well, we know what a struggle it is for everybody. But the PayPal button's at headonradionetwork.com, just like the snail mail address. If you'd use it, we'd be mighty obliged. Thanks go out to everybody who makes all this happen, you who contribute, first and foremost. As Sue noted, it's a great time to pick up your copy of For the Love of West Virginia. There are copies yet remaining. Thanks go out to John Fox, to Peter Godbold, to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, to Sue and Lottie, to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, to our blogger, Texas Betsy, our southeast correspondent is Matt Osborne. My head writer is David in Tennessee. And, of course, to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and Coal River Wind. You know why I say what I say when you realize the challenges and threats that they face every day. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you.